around the world.
March Madness, all Indiana. That's what's going on, 2021. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. It's good to be with you. It will be all here in that bubble type of style. Let me bring in Ryan Vaughn. He's the president of the Indiana Sports Corp. To kind of break this down, we've got 67 games being played there in Bloomington, being played in Purdue, being played at Hinkle, being played at Indiana Farmers Coliseum and a Bankers Life Fieldhouse. This was a conversation that started late last year. Was the conversation brought to you, Ryan, or did you and your team and others bring it to the NCAA and say, hey, we've got an idea?
Yeah, good morning, Tony. Great to be with you. Yeah, this was really the NCAA making the decision to pursue this single site concept for their March Madness strategy. They certainly had conversations with us and, you know, other necessary parties in the community to get it done. But yeah, it's largely driven by the NCAA's need to avoid cross-country travel all over the month of March. So their decision.
So when I understand that they made the decision, but in terms of the idea about, hey, we're a city that can handle this, did you pick up a phone and say, hey, we got an idea that's just so crazy it might work?
Well, really, late summer, early fall, we were kind of witnessing what major sporting leagues were doing, and we started to, replicate that model on a much smaller scale. We launched our own controlled site basketball initiative, attracted USA basketball games, other college games. We've worked with conferences. We built courts in the convention center. I mean, we intentionally did that so that we could learn how best to host events like this, knowing that this was a possibility. And so, yeah, we certainly raised our hand and said, if you guys are going to a single site concept, not only are we the place to do it, but we've been practicing and we have some learnings that we can take from it.
Talking to Ryan Vaughn, he's the president of the Indiana Sports Corp. It gets announced, all the games are here. It's centralized, but it's not in a bubble, right? What you guys are doing is different than, let's say, what the NBA did to finish out its season last year. So some games at Hinkle, some games down in Assembly Hall, some games up at Mackey. How do you decide where those games are? Are they based on region? How will this play out?
So the NCAA has a men's basketball committee that sort of governs all those decisions. They were the ones that helped identify, what locations the games would be played in. They'll determine the groupings once, Selection Sunday occurs, I think on March 14th. But really the decision to expand outside of Indianapolis to IU and Purdue was based on just the enormity of the tournament. When you bring in 68 teams, you just need more high-quality venues, especially for those first and second rounds.
Was there a conversation about having them at places like Purdue and IU, which I'm not opposed to, or was there a conversation about having them, like, for example, there's this gym in Knightstown that, I'm sure would be pretty fantastic for a game like this? Were there any of those conversations, maybe keeping things even a little closer to home in that regard?
Yeah, I think initially, there's a lot of excitement and enthusiasm around some of these wonderful historic high school gyms. But there's a sort of a logistical reality that precludes that pretty quickly. The college court is a different size court. The regulations for play are different than some of the historic high schools. And then, of course, the NCAA is a member institution. And so they certainly want to support their membership. Play in those type of facilities like IU and Purdue, which are, of course, first-class, world-class facilities.
Talking to Ryan Vaughn, president of the Indiana Sports Corp. Let us dig into what this means to Indianapolis and how this may be something that feeds out. Of course, you're working on bringing in events, but to bring in events, you have to be able to host the events. How much of this can be a springboard to, hey, look, this group, that group, the other group, we're the people who can handle this safely and effectively. You should have your event here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Tony. I mean, this is not only is it a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to host such a unique event over a long period of time, an entire month, basically. But it is a huge catalyst for a comeback for an industry that has really just been hit, you know, amongst the hardest of any industry when it comes to, you know, sports and tourism and conventions. And so it's an unbelievably great opportunity for Indianapolis to show the world that we can host events at scale and do it safely.
Has there been any conversation with the city of Indianapolis, with Marion County, with the health department regarding this event? And have they put any roadblocks in your way?
Yes, there's been conversation and quite the contrary. You know, the state has been an unbelievable partner. The governor, Dr. Fox, Dr. Kane locally has been fantastic. The mayor's office has been great, and including, you know, Visit Indy, the CIB. I mean, it takes, you know, typical Indianapolis story. It really does kind of take a village to host events like this. And everyone has been really excited and supported from day one, very enthusiastic to do just what you were just talking about, Tony, to really kind of, you know, rebound from a really tough 2020 and launch us on a good path early on in 21.
You always get me to cringe a little bit at take a village concepts, but I'm very happy to see people working together as opposed to being roadblocks. And this brings us to the big one, and that's the fans. To be able to have these events is fantastic, and there's a lot of economic impact that happens when you have all these teams and these staffs and everybody else in the media all here. We hear that there are 3,000 hotel rooms already booked, and that's wonderful. The question is, will there be fans any of these games?
So there's already a you know, consensus that there could be limited fans, meaning we can have you know, family of players, coaches, and staff. I think there's some discussion around a limited number of tickets for each. We know that's going to happen, which is great for the student athletes that their family can be there. There's certainly consideration of having fans, but I think prudently the NCAA and the state and county health departments want to give it time to see what the health conditions look like as we get closer. And so I suspect a decision on, you know, that issue and at what capacity will probably occur sometime in February.
Is the Indiana Sports Corp advocating for fans at these events?
Yeah, I'd love to do it. I think it would be fantastic. I think we've shown even through some difficult parts of this pandemic that, you know, major events can be executed safely with fans. You know, the Indy 11 did it well. The Colts are doing it well. And so it can be done. And it's just a matter of putting in the planning and putting in the safety precautions to do so.
The NBA picked restaurants in Indianapolis and said, these are the COVID-approved restaurants. Three of them, St. Elmo's, of course, amongst them. That was actually the headline photo there for the people at ESPN. It was a picture of St. Elmo's. Is that going to be the case for the NCAA, or will all of downtown be able to benefit from all of these people here?
Yeah, that's a fair question. I actually haven't had a conversation with the folks at the NCAA if they want to pursue that route or not. There's still quite a bit of planning and detail work to be done as we approach March. And so, it's a fair question I don't have a good answer for, unfortunately.
Well, it's one I'm going to be looking for and advocating for the full slate of incredible eateries throughout downtown, and I'm happy to help the NCAA to come to that conclusion. Ryan Vaughn, President, Indiana Sports Corp., I appreciate you taking the time.